This call is being recorded. If you do not wish to be recorded, please disconnect at this time.
Hi, everybody. This is Joel Whitaker, your host, the editor of Cane's Beverage News Daily. And with me today is Tucker Herndon, who is the Nashville office managing partner for Burr and Foreman, which is a law firm that operates in several cities in the South, including Nashville. Tucker, how are you?
Doing well, Joel. How are you?
And excellent, thank you. And did I get the name of the firm right? Because I stumbled there for a moment. So.
Correct. Burr and Foreman, LLP. We're a law firm of 300-plus lawyers, 12 offices, 8 states, and represent a number of entrepreneurs all the way up to Fortune 500 companies.
That sounds like a good legal practice to have. So congratulations on getting in with the right firm. So Tennessee has recently changed its alcohol beverage laws to, in one way or the other, make them much more friendly, shall we say, to the industry. Could you tell us a little bit about the changes that have taken place to start with?
Sure. In 2018, the alcoholic beverage laws within the state of Tennessee had a dramatic change, and there are 3 or 4 different highlighted issues that I will provide a summary today, but I'll kind of, in a quick summary, I'll hit each of the 3 or 4 topics, and then we can dive in. The first is Sunday and holiday sales. This was new to the state of Tennessee, where we specifically changed the ability to purchase alcoholic beverages on specific holidays and on Sunday. This is a very, very big change within the state of Tennessee, merely and simply because with the push for wine and grocery stores, which we refer to as WIGs, the grocery stores continue to request the ability to have a one-stop shop with wine and grocery stores and allow the patrons and the citizens of the state of Tennessee to have access to wine on Sundays for grocery shopping. So on April 22, 2018, retail liquor stores and wine stores, effective January 6, 2019, will have the ability to sell on Sunday. So they currently created a carve-out where retail liquor stores are allowed to sell wine starting at 10 a.m. on Sundays, and they gave them about a 7-month head start, and it was very intentional to allow the retail liquor stores to have the first bite at the apple for Sunday sales, with wine and grocery stores having the ability to have Sunday sales July 6, 2019. Additionally, one of the major things that happened was wine may be sold on all holidays except for Christmas, Thanksgiving, and Easter. Previously, any state holiday, there were requirements that allowed liquor stores to shut down, and that included New Year's Day, Memorial Day, 4th of July, and Labor Day. So a lot of people had to plan their purchase of alcoholic beverages from retail liquor stores and wine and grocery stores. In addition to the Sunday sales, retail liquor stores now have the ability to sell spirits, beer, and other allowed items pursuant to the statute. So both of those were significant changes within the Sunday and holiday sales. Some of the other major changes that came about in 2018 were the ability for the wine and grocery stores to have Sunday sales and liquor stores to have Sunday sales. The trade-off was there was a moratorium that was issued relative to the issuance of retail liquor stores. So as of the end of April, there was a stopgap that was put in issuance of new liquor stores within the state of Tennessee that prevent any future liquor stores licenses to be issued until January 1st, 2021. Now, the major change there was if there's an acquisition of a current liquor store within the same footprint, i.e. the city or county, that liquor store has the ability to sell it to a third party, and an individual can purchase the store and move that location. However, there will be no new liquor licenses for a retail liquor store that will be issued in 2018, 19, 20, or until January 1st, 2021.
That's a pretty big deal. Now, does that mean that if a grocery store wanted to sell liquor, that they would have to wait until January 2021 unless they bought out an existing package store? Or how does that work? Can you clarify that a little?
The wine and grocery stores and the retail liquor stores are two completely different licenses. While they both have the ability to sell wine, wine and grocery stores do not have the ability to sell hard liquor or specific alcoholic beverages. The wine and grocery store's license is specific to the sale of wine and high gravity beer.
Okay. And that makes some sense. But why did they take and put this moratorium into effect?
I think it was specifically to allow value to the current retail license holders.
Uh-huh.
That would prevent competition as a trade-off to having some of their business model and revenue be deteriorated from the new wine and grocery stores licenses.
That's pretty clever.
Provided some type of avenue that provided value for a current license holder.
Right. So a guy who was concerned that he might see his business go to hell in a handbasket, so to speak, or maybe I should say a grocery cart, could, if he wanted to, sell to somebody else and they could take it over and run the risk, or if he was 65 and said, I don't want to be in this new world, he could, again, exercise the retirement plan he'd planned for probably 20 or 30 years. Is that sort of your read of this?
Correct. Uh-huh. Licenses within the state of Tennessee are non-transferable, and they are not a true asset per se, unlike California and New Jersey and a number of states where there are only a specific number of licenses, and they are a true asset that have value $250,000 to $1 million in specific areas. The state of Tennessee, this is a way for a retail establishment to add some specific value while not having the ability to assign it. The acquisition of a current store, the license retains some value now.
So the license goes with the real estate, so to speak?
Not necessarily. You have to purchase the stock or membership interest of a corporation or an LLC, but mm-hmm. you have the ability to acquire the interests of an ongoing licensee.
Okay.
And keep that establishment running at its current location or petition the Tennessee Alcoholic Beverage Commission to move the license within the same footprint.
Within the same geographic area. Got it. So essentially, it would be, for somebody who wanted to do that, it would be a two-step process. Buy the business, keep it running, and immediately petition for the permission to move to wherever you really wanted to operate it from.
That is correct.
Okay. And that's pretty clever. In addition to the wine and grocery stores and this moratorium on the issuance of new retail liquor stores, there were two other things you were going to mention, I think.
So the 10% markup on spirits, this is interesting. When the wine and grocery stores licenses was passed, there was a specific statutory requirement that required any WIGS licensee to have a 20% mandatory markup. And in connection with the ability to do Sunday sales, the moratorium, there is now a 10% minimum markup on the sale of spirits, and that parallels the 20% markup already in place for wine. And so what we see is the 10% markup on the spirits as a first step for potentially legalizing spirits in food sales. And
mm-hmm.
the reason why I see that happening is as the wine and grocery stores licenses and ability to sell wine in other establishments outside of the retail liquor store arena transcends, this is the ability for the retail association to put down some type of specific markup requirement that will prevent reduction of or erosion of markup sales in the future if the wine and grocery stores licenses get expanded to spirits.
That sounds pretty clever, because what I know they've been concerned about in some other states has been a big grocery operator, say a Walmart or a Costco or a Kroger, coming in and undercutting the independent liquor store to the point that he could not compete, and you know, and there goes the business, so to speak. So I guess this answers that, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Very clever.
One of the other interesting things that happened in 2018 was delivery. So there's a statute that was passed this year that paves the way for delivery of beer, wine, and spirits by a grocery delivery service, such as Instacart, Shipt, Postmates, or any of the local delivery services, all the way up to Amazon if they qualify, which is very interesting because it allows the consumer more access to alcoholic beverages, and as long as you have the age identification training and the methods to make sure that everybody is carded and alcohol is not being sold to underage individuals, minors, or intoxicated individuals, this frees up the ability to allow a third-party service to deliver alcoholic beverages.
This sounds like just a complete cultural change in Tennessee. You know, it's almost hard for me to wrap my head around because it's such a big change, and it is, frankly, bigger than some of the other states have done. You want to talk a little bit about that, can you?
Sure. This is significant. With the ability to have Sunday sales, the ability to discuss delivery of alcoholic beverages, and in a moment I'll kind of give a summary of the collegiate sports and access to alcohol in Tennessee now to collegiate sports. Those three particular changes in the law are significant to a point where I would put those kind of 1A below wine and grocery stores. When wine and grocery stores was passed in 2016, that was the most significant change to the Tennessee alcoholic beverage laws since the Prohibition. This is immediately behind it because now you have access to alcohol on days that were previously classified as holidays, which allows a Tennessean to have direct access to the purchase of alcohol without having to plan significantly ahead. We ran into a number of times where you would have 4th of July that would fall on Saturday. So unless you planned accordingly for your 4th of July festivities, you couldn't buy beer on Saturday liquor on Saturday or Sunday, or vice versa. 4th of July is on Monday. You typically plan to go get all of your alcoholic beverages and food a day or two before. You would have to plan ahead to know that you had to go to the liquor store on Saturday.
And that would be, for the consumer, that would be a major pain in the old days and a major convenience in the new days.
Correct. So that's significant with the ability to have access to alcoholic beverages easier, except for the three holidays that are specific to the new statute. So that was extremely beneficial to the consumer, and the delivery was a new addition that allowed more access. Now, the next thing that I'll kind of summarize is the ability to purchase alcoholic beverages in collegiate sports. Welcome to the South. We love our football. Now, fans at MTSU, which is Middle Tennessee State University, and Tennessee State University in the 2018 football season have the ability to or opportunity to purchase alcoholic sporting events. That is a significant change within the state of Tennessee, and it could continue as a trial project to determine how the response is at MTSU and TSU. That could continue to grow within the confines of any of the sporting events within the state of Tennessee that are collegiate sports.
So it starts at MTSU and TSU and then goes, and then it could expand through the whole state.
Correct. Now we've got to get through over the issues of what the SEC division allows in college football and what arenas have the ability or stadiums have the ability to sell alcohol. But this is a step in the direction to eliminate the requirements for all of the sporting enthusiasts to sneak booze into games because it's directly available to the fans.
And I presume in the good old days that, in fact, they did sneak beverages into the games.
Oh, I think every collegiate sport within the state of Tennessee on a regular basis, there are co-eds and adults that continue to figure out ways to have their alcohol at sporting events.
Yes, I can imagine so. I remember my father giving me a lecture at one point years and years ago about North Carolina's laws and so on, and how you were absolutely not allowed to buy liquor at the at a restaurant, I think it was. And then he put a bottle of something rather in a little brown bag, took it into the restaurant, and as long as he didn't raise it above the level of the table as he poured it, it was apparently just fine, which always struck me as somewhat strange. So I'm glad that Tennessee's dealing with that issue and making it legal, and hopefully that will be a good thing.
Yeah, we still have to get through the approval of the specific conferences to determine if the collegiate sports conference will allow alcoholic beverages. But MTSU, for example, is in Conference USA, and they should not have any issue because there are other schools within that conference that allow the sale of alcoholic beverages. So we expect it to sail right through.
How about the SEC? Is that likely to be a problem, or do you know?
Do not know at this time. Now, the SEC currently does not allow alcoholic beverages, but you know, it takes one or two teams that are money generators to continue to press to request that alcoholic beverages be available, and the SEC will get together and make a determination by vote. But I anticipate in the future that is forthcoming, especially with college football.
Yeah, I would bet so too, especially once they take a look at the revenues generated by colleges where that is allowed in other conferences, you know, money talks, as they say. Well, this is all very big changes. What sort of response have you heard from your clients at this point? How's that affecting your practice?
So I represent a number of entities and individuals that play at all three tiers, the manufacturer, the wholesaler, and the retailer. Some of the retail association participants are that hold retail liquor store licenses see this as somewhat of a change. They have to now determine if they want to compete with the grocery store down the road and continue to open on Sundays and pay the expense of staff, and it's a business determination to decide to open on Sundays, while some of my clients that own retail liquor stores have made the decision not to open on Sundays, and I think that they have significantly regretted it because they are hearing the response of the patrons on Saturdays or Mondays of, why aren't y'all open?
Mm-hmm.
From the wine and grocery stores front, I think the wine and grocery stores coalition and association is thrilled. The Grocers Association continues to press that they want to provide access to alcoholic beverages to their patrons just as an ordinary course of purchasing grocery and convenience for the consumer.
Mm-hmm. And what's been the reaction of the religious community?
The religious community, I think every one of the counties that approved it, cities or counties, had to vote on a certificate of compliance, which is the local approval.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they are okay with it. There's always going to be some pushback regarding the ability to purchase alcohol on Sundays, but with the understanding that everybody has to be a responsible citizen, I think it's more palatable for the religious community.
That's very interesting. I mean, I'm the son of a Southerner. Now I'm really old, so my understanding of the Middle South goes back several decades. But you know, I can think of in the '60s, for instance, how the religious community would have fought this tooth and nail.
Now, we had the blue laws forever in
yeah.
the state of Tennessee, where you couldn't buy alcohol at all on Sundays, and we still get pushback. You know, just being in Nashville with the Titans, you cannot purchase beer until 12 o'clock on Sunday.
Oh, boy.
You can go, unless you are at a liquor-by-the-drink establishment that is an on-premises license, you can't buy beer until 12 o'clock on Sunday. However, you can go to the grocery store and buy wine at 10.
What a dichotomy, right?
Correct.
Well, this is all very big stuff. Do you think there are more changes coming? Obviously, I think you do expect liquor to be going into grocery stores sooner or later. Anything beyond that?
Sooner or later. It's going to be very interesting to see how the transition to spirits into the grocery stores happens and will it happen. What I'm more interested to see is how Amazon has the ability to take over a delivery service for alcoholic beverages, meaning if you want a six-pack of beer or a couple bottles of wine for a party that you're having tonight, you can sit in your office and you can punch three buttons on your smartphone and that wine or beer beats you to your house. And you don't have to worry about stopping at the store, or you don't have to worry about the logistics of dealing with traffic. That to me is probably the most interesting, because it opens up a whole different avenue of having the ability to buy alcoholic beverages from multiple different retail establishments, where you can actually expand the products as long as they are licensed within the state of Tennessee and have a direct-to-consumer license,
mm-hmm.
or they have their brand registered with the state of Tennessee. That allows multiple options for the consumer.
How soon do you think that's likely to happen?
Don't know. I expect it to be sooner rather than later, but there are some specific hurdles that have to be overcome before mm-hmm. I believe that the drone drops a six-pack of beer at your front door.
Well, that would be I bet you'll be one of the first to test that delivery when it comes, and you'll have to let us know how that goes.
It'll definitely be interesting.
Yeah. What have we missed in this little discussion for the last 25 minutes?
I think that's a pretty good summation. There are different things throughout the state of Tennessee that were also changed for on-premises establishments, allowing what we call the open carry, that allows beer and alcoholic beverages to be carried by a patron between different licensed premises, provided that they connect. They have to be connected to the point where the open carry does not allow an alcoholic beverage to go outside of the footprint of either of the licensed premises.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be pretty interesting for us, because it allows you to consistently, we think of all of the open-air restaurants that are starting to have a lot of the shared space, and having the ability, if it's contiguous, to walk between restaurants with a cocktail or a glass of wine or a beer in your hand.
Mm-hmm.
However, you cannot have to access public streets or right-of-ways between the restaurants. So that's going to be interesting to see how it works.
That certainly does sound interesting.
Yeah. They talked about, you know, throughout the legislative session, they worked on specific things that allowed. There are two different on-premises establishments in Nashville that allow 23 hours a day, 7 days a week, sales for alcoholic beverages from 4 a.m. beginning from 4 a.m. to 3 a.m. every day.
Oh my goodness!
That's a special legislation that allows the Diner, which is a downtown establishment, and Scoreboard Bar and Grill, which is located in Donelson,
mm-hmm.
to have 23/7 sales. So that will be, I think there are a lot of members in the community that are looking to see how that plays out to make a determination of if it would be a good benefit to the patrons of the state of Tennessee.
And not cause an increase in drunk driving or that sort of stuff too, I would suppose.
Correct.
Would be on the agenda.
Correct.
Yeah.
Everybody's worried about the health, safety, and welfare of the citizens of the state of Tennessee. However, you know, this is special legislation that was written, and I think a lot of the legislators are interested to see how the sales go for an establishment that sells 23/7.
Boy, if I was a legislator, I'd be interested. If I was in the business, I'd be interested. It sounds like a very interesting experiment going on down there.
Yep.
Good. Well, Tucker, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it. We wish you well as all of this unfolds. I'm sure it will give you lots of business in your practice, which is not a bad thing. We'll touch back with you in a few months and see how things are going in Tennessee, if that's okay with you.
Perfect, Joel. Thank you very much for your time today.
Tucker, thank you so much. And where can people get a hold of you if they want to talk to you some more?
They can call me directly at 615-724-3252 or email me at thernndon@burr.com.
Excellent. So, Tucker, thank you so much, and we will look forward to talking to you again.
Thanks, Joel.
Bye-bye.